Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen Amma ba'd fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, welcome back to another beautiful episode on the Silsila, The Early Echo. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, wherever you are in the world, we are hopeful that yourself and your family is safe and sound. Do remember the grief-stricken ummah of the beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in your du'as. Because in some part of the world, you may hear of some Muslims that are suffering from the effects of oppression. Do make dua for them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them and remove the oppressors as well. We have another faith refreshing topic of discussion, and one which is so important for every Muslim out there, for every believer. We are going to be talking about a believer's most valuable asset. And once again, we are honored to have our respected Hazrat Mawlana Abdul Qadir Mu'ini Qadiri At-Tari, who is going to be sharing some of those Madani pearls of advices. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How's Mawlana Sahib doing?
Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. How are you doing, Huzur?
Alhamdulillah, it's lovely weather, mashallah.
Mashallah.
To begin with. And it's the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The
pouring
showers,
down, and we actually needed it.
No doubt. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal. We need all of it. We need the dry season. We need the heat. We need the rain. We need the cold. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends everything in a balanced way. But it's just us. We don't fully comprehend and understand it. So a little later, we are going to be talking about a believer's most valuable asset. I'm not talking about that lovely house of yours. I'm not talking about your lovely vehicle or lovely cars, the money that you have, the investments that you have. I'm not talking about your business or your work, in fact. I'm talking about something that if it is lost, then everything is lost. If it is lost, then there is no hope. We're going to be talking about a believer's most valuable asset. And let's listen to a beautiful narration with regards to excellence of reciting Durud-e-Pak. Salawat and salutations upon the cream of creation, the owner of Jannah, the last prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who has said, the one who sends durood upon me, so until he keeps sending it, angels continue supplicating for mercy for him.
Subhanallah.
Now it is up to him, up to that person, whether he recites it more or less. Do I want more mercy or less mercy? That's my decision. That's my choice. If I recite more durood-e-pak and salawat through the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla, I will gain more mercy, more barakat, and more blessings as well. And as we always advise, firstly ourselves and then to you, the dear listener and our audience out there, that every day dedicate some time to recite Qur'an-e-pak, durood-e-pak, istighfar, dhikrullah, and seeking knowledge of deen from authentic sources, which Dawat Islami offers on various platforms, facilities, courses, and classes and activities as well. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. So a little bit more on a believer's most valuable asset after we listen to this wonderful and beautiful kalam. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Allahu Ghafoor, Allahu Ghafoor, Allahu Rahim, Allahu Rahim, Allahu Yuhibbul Muhsinin, Huwa Khaliquna, هو رازقنا وهو على كل شيء قدير إن الله على كل شيء قدير يا رب العالمين
الله الله الله
صل على طه الأمين
الله الله الله
في كل وقت وحين
الله الله الله حسبي ربي جل الله الله الله ما في قلبي غير الله الله الله الله نور محمد صلى الله الله الله لا إله إلا الله الله الله
املأ قلبي باليقين
الله الله الله
ثبتني على هذا الدين
الله الله الله
واغفر لي والمسلمين
الله الله الله حسبي ربي جل الله الله الله ما في قلبي غير الله الله الله الله نور محمد صلى الله الله الله لا إله إلا الله الله الله
وہ تنہا کون ہے
الله الله الله
بادشاہ وہ کون ہے
الله الله الله
مہرباں وہ کون ہے
الله الله
کیا اونچی شان ہے
الله الله الله
سب دلوں کی جان ہے
الله الله الله
اس کی اپنی شان ہے
الله الله الله حسبي ربي جل الله الله الله ما في قلبي غير الله الله الله الله نور محمد صلى الله الله الله لا إله إلا الله الله الله
راز دل کے جانے وہ
الله الله الله
حال بھی پہچانے وہ
الله الله الله
پھر بھی توبہ مانے وہ
الله الله الله
آسیوں کی آس ہے
الله الله الله
اس کی رحمت خاص ہے
الله الله الله
سب دلوں کے پاس ہے
الله الله الله حسبي ربي جل الله الله الله ما في قلبي غير الله الله الله الله نور محمد صلى الله الله الله لا إله إلا الله الله الله
Oh Allah, the Almighty,
Allahu Allah, Allah,
protect me and guide me,
Allahu Allah, Allah,
through your love and mercy,
Allahu Allah, Allah, Hasbi Rabbi Jalla Allah, Allahu Allah, ma fi qalbi ghayru Allah, Allahu Allah, Allah. نور محمد صلى الله الله الله لا إله إلا الله الله الله
Who is the all-capable?
Allahu Allah Allah
The curer and the healer
Allahu Allah Allah
Who's the dominant all over?
Allahu Allah Allah Hasbi Rabbi Jalla Allah Allahu Allah Ma fi qalbi ghayru Allah الله الله الله نور محمد صلى الله الله الله لا إله إلا الله الله الله
of other جناح
الله الله الله
عالم بادشاه
الله الله الله
يركلرن بناها
الله الله الله حسبي ربي جل الله
Allahu Allah, ma fi qalbi ghayru Allah. Allahu Allah, Nur Muhammad sallallahu. Allahu Allah, la ilaha illallah.
İşit Allah derdimi bu ahlara ma rahmeyle başla günahlara ma hayrayleyhem akşam ham sabahlara ma
hasbi rabbi jallallah Allahu Allah ma fi kalbi gayrullah Allahu Allah Nur Muhammad sallallahu Allahu Allah la ilaha illallah Allahu Allah
Rabbul Mashriqayn wa Rabbul Maghribayn fa bi ayyi ala'i rabbikuma tukazziban. Wo dono mashriqon ka rab hai aur dono maghribon ka rab hai, to tum dono apne rab ki kaun kaun si ne'maton ko jhutlaoge? Lord of the two easts and the two wests, so which of your Lord's favors will you deny?
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What a beautiful kalam. And you know, we listen to these kalams. One of the reasons is to further increase the love of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our hearts. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, take us to Madina Tayyiba, Zadaha Allahu Sharafu wa Ta'zeema, time and again. Ameen. Take us to visit Aqsa Sharif, to Fuhajj and Umrah, time and again. Ameen bijahi khatam al-Nabiyyin, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what is a believer's most valuable asset? I'm sure many of you may have figured it out by now. And that is one's iman, one's faith. One's faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we only obey Allah jalla jalaluhu, obey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we follow Al-Quran, we follow the teachings and the values of Islam. This faith, this iman, this is the most prized possession of a believer. And remember, if this is lost, then what hope is there? And that is true success. Some ulama have mentioned that true success of a person is that if they left this dunya with iman. Success here in the world is to leave with iman intact. I'm going to narrate to you a very faith-refreshing incident. Listen carefully and don't think this iman is something that I can play with, that one day I can commit a sin and I'll make tawbah later. Allah is all merciful. Be careful not to fall in these tricks and traps of shaitan. It is mentioned that Fir'aun, we all know Fir'aun, one of the major tyrants and oppressors the world has ever seen. Yes, we have Fir'auns today as well, and we will have Fir'auns and oppressors in the future. But where have they gone? The ones in the past? Where have they gone? What legacy they left behind? That they were oppressors, they were tyrants, they were evil. Allahu Akbar. So his daughter had a very pious maid, a lady who used to tend to her, who used to serve her day and night. And one day, this pious lady who had iman, who only worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she was combing the hair of Fir'aun's daughter. While she's doing this, all of a sudden the comb fell down. Unintentionally, she uttered the words, Bismillah, loudly. Now, Fir'aun's daughter, who was not a Muslim, she heard this and she asked the pious lady, did you just praise my father, the Pharaoh? That pious lady said, no, in fact, I have glorified Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has created me, who has created your father, and who has created the entire universe. Only He is wahdahu la sharik. That only He is deserving to be worshipped. When she mentioned these things, Fir'aun's daughter said that, I'm going to tell my father about what you have said, that you do not accept Him as Ilah, as God. The woman replied, "Don't worry, no problem. Tell him." She didn't have any fear in her heart. And Fir'aun was hunting down those who were not worshipping him and executing them. But she said, "Go and tell him." She tells the father, Fir'aun's daughter tells him that what this woman has said. So he summons her and he asks her, he tells her that, "I have heard that you worship a god besides me." The woman replied, "Do whatever you want to do. I will never ever commit kufr. I will hold on firmly to my iman." Allah Akbar. Just then, Fir'aun, the pharaoh, the oppressor, the tyrant, he ordered for some oil to be boiled in a copper cauldron, a huge round pot. When this oil started to boil, her son was brought. He then orders his soldiers and they throw her son into the boiling oil. Allahu Akbar. And just then his skin melts off and his bones come to the top. One by one, this tyrant, this oppressor, like we have the oppressors of today that are murdering our children out there, he threw all of her children into the boiling oil. But this brave, patient woman, this pious lady, she still did not abandon her iman, her faith. And Pharaoh, he sees that she is unwavering. She's not tilting towards kufr of worshipping him. Na'udhu billah. He orders that they must take her little baby and throw it into that boiling oil. He orders that they must take her and also throw her inside. Thereafter, the pious lady was thrown into the boiling oil. A little while later, her bones also came to the surface.
Allah.
Now, there's a hadith that is related to this pious lady, some reference to this pious lady and her children. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that on Laylatul Mi'raj, "I came across a very pleasant fragrance. And I asked, O Jibra'il alayhi salam, what is this fragrance?" And he alayhi salam replied, "This is the fragrance of the maid of Fir'aun's daughter and her children."
Subhanallah.
Allahu Akbar. The martyrs, they are never truly dead.
Definitely.
I mean, how many times are you going to die? One time you're going to die. Depends how you die. If you die in haq, on truth, if you fall as a martyr, your way is opened up. But for the tyrants, when they die, they enter into the pits of hellfire. Allahu Akbar. So have you heard? This pious, brave, courageous lady standing up to one of the major oppressors and tyrants that this world has ever seen. What about you and I? If anybody has to question us, has to put our iman in doubt, what will be my reaction? Will I allow those doubts to cloud my mind and further confuse me? Or do I know my deen? Do I know what it means to be a Muslim? That a Muslim is one who submits to the will of Allah Azza wa Jal, not submitting to one's ego and desires, not submitting to the desires of societal pressures, or people out there, they don't even know us, don't care about us. Masab, what a wonderful narration to boost our morale, to boost our iman as well. And I think it's important that we need this. We need these kind of narrations in order for us to become courageous, for us to become brave as well.
Definitely. As Masab has mentioned in the very beginning, that iman is something, we're talking about your most precious asset.
Absolutely.
When we talk about asset, people, our minds, because we have been conditioned in this superficial environment and the trend that's growing day by day. Like people nowadays, if you want to know the value of everything, the value of everything now is determined either by the money or by the assets or the properties or anything that is tangible. And anything that has monetary value. If something does not have monetary value, we tend to disregard that thing as having any value at all.
It's true that.
But iman is something that is intangible. But this is the value that we are going to carry it to our grave. Not the material value, not the monetary value, not the assets, not the shops or the businesses, not our houses, fancy cars or anything as such. It's only our iman that is going to be with us and our actions. Therefore, there's a beautiful hadith where the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look at your faces.
Allahu Akbar.
But he looks at your heart.
Ay, ay, ay, subhanallah.
Summary of the hadith, subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
So what does that tell you? Where is the place of iman? Center of the heart is the place for iman. Subhanallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at our sincerity, our level of iman and the sincerity of actions and the intentions that we do have. Not the outwardly glamour that's there. We can fool everyone, not our creator.
Allah.
Who's our creator, subhanallah. And people in the world can be fooled by the glamour and your lavish lifestyle, your affluent status. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has given us all of this. We can't, I mean, all this does not carry value in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look at your faces or your bodies.
But also, we get some people out there, especially on social media, they call them influencers.
Yes.
And they are trying to influence us towards something, towards a specific lifestyle, to attain maximum wealth, to become financially free, so we can indulge in worldly things. And the way they portray their lifestyle, sometimes they have this mentality, fake it to make it. That, you know, the way they portray it, that the glitz and the glamour, as you mentioned. And many of us Muslims, you know, we get carried away. Hey, I also want that kind of a car, that sports car. I also want, you know, that lifestyle of, you know, going out on my own private yacht and, you know, enjoying my life and being free from all these responsibilities. So, like, what advice can we give to these kind of people, these Muslims that are influenced by these kind of influences, and who should rather we be influenced by?
Subhanallah. You know, it reminds me of one story that somebody told me once. He said there was this person and he went to a gathering. And usually when he would go to a gathering where he would be invited to an event to partake in a meal or something. So he went to this party sort of event and he was all dressed up, you know, prim and proper, as we would like to call it, with the suit and the coat and, you know, properly dressed.
Dressed to impress.
Dressed to impress, yes. And people used to be impressed by his aura that he would carry and the outwardly glamour that he would bring in.
Right.
And once he was in a situation and he was invited to a party. And it so happened that his clothes weren't ironed, his clothes weren't washed. So he just put on anything.
Right.
The people have invited me. It doesn't make a difference. I mean, today is one of the days when I don't have. Like, for example, today it's raining in Durban. And, you know, if you never put your clothes out for washing, and, you know, if the washing didn't get dry, then what are you going to wear?
Right.
You can't wear wet clothes. So he just wore whatever was there and it didn't look good on him. So when he went to the party, usually when he went, people would say, wow, so-and-so has arrived. And they would give him a warm welcome. And this time around when he went to the party, it's like nobody even cared as to who he is. And he was really taken aback by this attitude of people, by this reaction that he received, and he didn't like it. So he understood. At the end, he understood. So that respect and the honor that was given to me, it wasn't given to me, to my personality, but it was given to something that is attached to me, that is external, that is not part of my personality.
Right.
I mean, I'm here. But those wells, bells and whistles, they are not with me today. So I'm giving this kind of treatment. So next time when he went to the party and he was invited, and he went all dressed up well, and when the food was presented to him, he's telling his suit, his cuff, you know, eat it, it's for you. It's not for me. The honor and everything that's presented here, it's for you. It's not for me, because when I come dressed up anyhow, then I don't get any respect. I don't get any warm welcome.
Nobody wants to associate
with me. Nobody wants to know me. And today when I've come, it's because of you I have this respect. Allah.
That's so true, Manasa, because, you know, if you really want to see, you know, if a person is maybe wealthy or influential, or, you know, the friends that surround him, generally, as you mentioned, I mean, they do so not to respect him as a person, but to respect his authority, to respect his wealth, to respect his, you know, materialism or his influence and his contacts and connections. And tomorrow, if he loses all of that, then he'll realize, like, okay, so nobody wants to know me. You know, they only respected me because of, you know, the influence I had. In the context I had, or the wealth I had, Allah.
But then people of true iman, they don't care about all of this.
100%.
Their mentality 100%. Is such that it doesn't matter. I don't care if nobody in the world knows me or not. It doesn't matter. It doesn't bother that person. He must be known and famous in the court of Allah.
Allah. That is true fame, Muslim.
Yes.
Imagine if Allahu Akbar, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a person, then it's revealed to Jibreel Amin alayhi salam that I love this person, you also love this person. Jibreel Amin alayhi salam goes to the heavens and tells the angels and the inhabitants of heaven, Allah Jalla Jalaluhu loves this person, you also love this person. And then inhabitants of earth also love that person. So subhanAllah, this is true fame. True fame is to humble yourself for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, to only worship Allah Azza wa Jal, to keep your iman intact, to be an obedient slave to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then you can get true status, real status, not all the superficial fake status that is out there. And we're talking about iman of a believer. Don't just feel that, you know what, I am born a Muslim, I got a Muslim name, my parents are Muslim, my family is Muslim, so whatever I do in between doesn't matter. Allah is most merciful. And you just live a life of sin and disobedience. Allahu Akbar. Ulama Ikram have mentioned, the person who does not take care of the protection of his iman, doesn't worry, doesn't care, does whatever he wants, indulges in whatever sin is there, then in all probability, this person could lose their iman at the time of death. Then what? If iman is lost, it's gone, it's over. There's no chance of entering into paradise. I need to think about this. And I need you to ask yourself, we need to ask ourselves, do I care about my iman? I care about everything else. I care about, you know, making sure that my home is safe and secure. I have the latest alarm systems. Security measures are in place, that my materialistic possessions are all safe and sound. I take care of those things to protect them. How much do I care about the protection of my iman? Ask yourself this question. What am I doing to protect my iman? Am I punctual with my 5 times salah? Do I obey Allah Azza wa Jalla and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Do I follow the teachings and the commands of Al-Quran? Do I fulfill rights of people? Do I do as much good as I can to please Allah? Do I stay away from sinning?
Allah.
All of these things are going to help for the preservation of iman.
Another is to send a strong message to those of us who are like too confident. You know, and you would hear people say that, you know, I'm not worried about my iman. My iman, alhamdulillah, is protected and guarded. I don't have to worry. I got such a strong faith in iman. I don't need to worry about his protection,
right?
Because my iman is strong. I know it. So what's
Allah
there to protect?
Mm.
He wouldn't say the same thing about his assets. If he loses his phone today and leaves it somewhere, and he can't say that, you know, I don't have to worry about this because I know, I'm confident it wouldn't be lost if I go and take a walk and come back. But about the iman, he can loosely say that, you know, I'm not worried about it. I know my iman will be protected. Meaning, he doesn't place that much value on the iman.
That's true.
if he recognized the value of it, that person wouldn't be found saying that. And about the influence of people, Mausab spoke about the influences. I mean, we don't need to know anyone. We only know the Madina wali Aqa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is the criterion of our iman. He has been made the criterion of iman. Sayyidi Al-Azad has given us this beautiful mindset. Leave all these influences and everyone. He says, unhe jana, unhe mana, na rakha ghair se kam. Lillahi alhamd, main dunya se musalman gaya.
Hai, hai, hai, hai.
So the Madina wali Aqa can only guarantee that we leave this dunya with iman.
But I need to ask myself as a believer, as a Muslim, like, how attached am I to the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Yes. It's one thing to claim that I love Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's a completely different thing if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loves you. It's one thing to claim that I love Allah azza wa jal, and it's a different thing when Allah azza wa jal loves you. So we need to think about this. Don't just waste your life away in all these play and amusements. All these entertainments, the CEO of all these kinds of entertainments that are out there largely is Iblis, is Shaitan. That's his marketing machine to market a specific lifestyle which is contrary to Islamic values. We see that it's infested with immodesty, with immorality, with obscenities, with vulgarity. And who? Promotion of alcohol, of drugs, of premarital relationships, of adultery, of fornication, of gambling, and a lewd, hedonistic lifestyle. That's what Shaitan wants. We have to hold on to this iman. Yes, if you're proud to be a believer, it's fine. Alhamdulillah, in all praise is due to Allah. I am a believer. I'm a Muslim, I'm a believer. Yes, be proud to be a believer. Be thankful to Allah Azza wa Jal to be a believer. But don't have this mentality that, nah, I don't have to worry. Be proud that you're a believer, that you have iman, but continue protecting your iman. Because Shaitan doesn't give up. Right till the end, right till your last breath, he doesn't give up. This is what he's after. The thief of iman is him. Iblis, Shaitan, the cursed and humiliated one. And he has agents amongst the humans, amongst the jinn, who also try, who assist him, who aid him in trying to corrupt a person's iman with incorrect beliefs. They try to corrupt a person's a'mal. Little bit good we try to do, he tries to corrupt the intention. No, you know, I'm giving this little charity, I'm giving, I hope somebody is watching me. Allah, but that riya. So be careful of this. And the nafsul ammara, the desires, the ego, the self, works together with shaitan. Protect the iman. Be careful. If you lose this asset, if you lose this precious, valuable asset, then everything is lost. Doesn't matter how much of name and fame and wealth and influence and connections and contacts and authority that I have in the dunya, it's for nothing. Once a person's eyes closes, where's all that gone to? Stays behind. And then if the person left without iman, it starts in the qabr. It starts in the grave. The punishments, the person won't be able to answer the questions. They will fail in that examination. And if they fail, the fire of Jahannam will be lit in that grave. The grave becomes a trench from the trenches of Jahannam. Angels of punishment will enter to bash and break that person's body to pieces. The grave will close in and will flatten that person, will crush that person's body. The insects, the snakes and scorpions will punish that person. It doesn't stop there. What about on the day of judgment? Allahu Akbar. No. Think about it, my dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel. Protection of iman is something we must take priority of. And Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jalla, Dawud Islami is a support structure. This is what it is. Essentially, it's a support structure to keep us grounded in correct Islamic beliefs. To keep us grounded in following the commands of the Quran, following the Sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to become obedient slaves of Allah Azza wa Jal and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to love all Sahaba Ikram, Ahlul Bayt, Awliya Allah. Dawud Islami is that support structure. And don't just keep it for yourself. What about your future generations? What about your offspring? Love. What's going to happen to them? You see today, some time back, I saw that so-called ex-Muslims, where they're proud to say they are not Muslim anymore. And they were, Allahu Akbar, they were having t-shirts they were wearing, and it was written there, "I am awesome without Allah." Will my children go in that direction? Can happen. We don't know. We don't know the divine hidden plan of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. But what am I doing to bolster the iman as a mother and father, as a grandmother, grandfather, as an uncle or auntie? What am I doing to strengthen, to keep them grounded in Islamic values, Islamic teachings, and proper Islamic beliefs? How am I contributing? Don't just leave it to the Mulana Sahab and Apa in the madrasa. Take that as a bonus. First, it's your responsibility. It's your, which parent wants to see that they are going to Jannah, children are burning in Jahannam? Which parent? Tell me. Obviously, we don't want to. But unfortunately, if we do not care about the preservation of the iman, and we close our eyes, which direction the wind is going to blow them? Think about this. And you know, honestly, in today's day and age, Dawud-e Islami is the way. Dawud-e Islami, you enroll him in Madrasatul Madina, Jamiatul Madina, Darul Madina, our courses, our special classes, our weekly ijtima, daily nek a'mal, madani qafilas. All of these things, daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, all of these things are designed. They are designed to keep us grounded upon proper Islamic beliefs, to strengthen and preserve our iman. We've got a short clip to further motivate us, inshallah, about something that will help us to increase our good deeds, inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
As believers, we have to ensure that we are sincere in our actions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the state of our heart. Perhaps we can deceive creation, we can never deceive the creator, Allah azza wa jal. Whenever you're in a position to serve someone, to help someone, to aid someone, do so sincerely. It shouldn't be for any worldly gain, it should be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you receive any worldly gain by means of that, alhamdulillah, but your intention should be for Allah. For example, somebody says to you, why don't you accompany me on this journey? Whether that's to their homeland, whether that's for Haramain Sharifain, a journey to Umrah or Hajj. I want you to help me on this journey or whatever it is. Now, when you are with that person, you should strive and do your utmost to actually help them. That was the maqsad of you going with them. If it's just to go on a holiday, a free journey, expenses have been covered, then how sincere are you? You should try and make their journey, their trip, as comfortable as possible for them. And we shouldn't do it with these motives that, oh, I'll continue to go with this person for my own gain. I'm benefiting. I don't care how their experience is. So when someone tells you to do something, when somebody has expectations, you should meet those expectations. You should be sincere in this cause, sincere in helping them. Inshallah, you'll be rewarded immensely from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm sure you have learned something from that wonderful clip as well. So again, keep attached to Dawud Islami. You will not regret it. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu states in the glorious Quran, indeed, those who said, Allah is our Lord, then remained firm upon it. The angels descend upon them, saying, do not fear, nor grieve, and be happy for the paradise which you were promised. We want that paradise, but we have to remain firm on our iman and our faith as well. What an inspiring verse of the Quran. We want that Jannah, So be firm on Iman. MashaAllah.
This firmness actually is what is required of us in this mortal life. I mean, nobody lived forever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's divine being is the only one that is everlasting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We are from the possibilities. We as human species, any creation, they are from amongst the possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And our possibility is such, we are here just for a short time. The world is there for thousands of years. But we, what is the life expectancy Mahasab nowadays? 60, yes, 70.
Yeah.
Right? And after that, the person remains no more. Meaning we were never there. We're here for a short period of time. And we won't be there. So what can we make of this short life that can last us for the life that will be forever? The life in the hell, for those disbelievers, they are going to reside in there forever.
Right.
Whereas the life of those believers, us, who inshallah, if we leave this dunya with Iman, will stay in Jannah forever.
Inshallah.
As it is documented in the Holy Quran, promised in the Holy Quran, خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. So, what will get us admission into paradise of Allah is the firmness of Iman. I would like to put it this way. When I was reading this beautiful sharah of this hadith, إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, the intention that we have, and now it relates to Iman. In Ittihafus Saad al-Muttaqeen, the Shari of Ihya al-Muddin, he says that why would a person remain in Jannah forever? How does it make sense that a person will remain in Jannah forever,
right,
but our actions are not perpetual? I mean, we are given 60, 70 years of life expectancy.
Right.
Even that, maybe, let's say, the first 15 years till the time of puberty, we're not really accounted for, right? And so how does this make up for the perpetual blessing that we'll enjoy in Jannah? He says it's the intention, it's not so much the actions, because actions, if it only depended on actions, then actions will only last as far as the life cycle continues.
Yes.
And then it will come to a discontinuation. But we will remain in Jannah forever, and those dwellers of hell, they will remain in hell forever. So how does this make sense? He says we would not stay in Jannah forever, or the dwellers of hell would not stay in hell forever based on the actions, but on the intentions.
Allahu Akbar.
Why? Because a believer had the intention that if I had been given more life, and if I continued to live longer,
Allah,
I would still continue to live obeying Allah Azza wa Jal and His beloved Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Whereas a disbeliever, he had this intention that if I continued to live for longer, I would still be adamant and I would still be firm on my disbelief. And therefore, why we will stay in Jannah forever, and those who will go to hell will stay in hell forever on account of their inner thoughts, the inner belief. So if we had this firm belief on Iman, and inshallah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted us more life, we would still be on Iman. Therefore, a person who stays and resides in Jannah will reside in Jannah forever on account of one's intention.
Allah, and you know, and it all makes sense. Like you see, Amir Ahl-Sunnah, Damat Barakatum Al-Aliyah, always encouraging that good intentions. Always make good intentions. Your nek amal that you're filling out, your first question is about, did you make good intentions today? And you'll see in this environment of Dawud Islami, always starting off bayan and dars and, you know, that good intentions.
Inshallah.
So make an intention to practice upon this, and teach your next generations, your children, your offspring as well. We'll catch you next time only on Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu, Allah, Allah.